10 o'clock on Facebook Live and live streaming on our website, nltaugusta.org. And we'd love to have you join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7:30. We are going to have our prayer request at the end of the message, and I want to bring us something here this morning that will kind of fit into where we're at as far as our day is concerned. And the scripture is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he says this: "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Very powerful scripture. And beside being the scripture that I've chosen for this morning's message, I would also like to make it our week's scripture meditation. And so those of you that are a part of that, and we would like to have everybody join in with us and get the scripture printed off on your computer, take it with you during the week, meditate upon it, and I know the Lord will give you understanding in the Word of God. There's so much here in this one or two scriptures this morning that it would be impossible for me to cover it all here this morning, today. And I'd like to focus our attention on the practical side of this, not so much on the prophetic side, although I'm going to talk about the prophetic word this morning. And so maybe we ought to just do that first. The prophetic part of this word has great significance here. Excuse me. And with just a few scriptures, we can see that the times that are spoken of are before us. They're right here before us as I speak. And many are asking the question, is this virus the beginning of the end? I believe that we are entering a time in Bible prophecy that was spoken of by Jesus Christ, but the answer to the question, is this virus the beginning of the end? My answer is no. And I want to look at it from a biblical standpoint, from a prophetic standpoint, before we finish the message here this morning. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and starting with verse 4, Matthew chapter 24 is the chapter of prophecy in the book of Matthew. Actually, chapter 24 and chapter 25 are words of prophecy from Jesus Christ himself. And Matthew chapter 24, and starting with verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, and of course this is in a response to their question, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And so Jesus is explaining to them what it was that he was talking about. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. There it is again. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so if we would look at this here this morning, we could look at different things, but the pestilence here, the word pestilence in this particular scripture means a plague, or it literally means a disease. And it would be hard to say this morning that this coronavirus, even though it's very deadly, and we feel for the victims of this virus, it does not come up to a biblical standard of end time prophecy. And it would be very hard to say that it was the very thing that would accelerate end time prophecy in the last days. But it does fit into the overall scheme of things. It fits in, it's a piece of the big puzzle. And when we look at the list this morning, when we look at this list, it talks about wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines, earthquakes in different places, then we could all say that that fits into the day that we're living as well. But the main focus of Jesus' word here is no. It is not the end. It is not the very wrapping up of all things, but it is the beginning. It is the beginning of sorrows, and he made that as a point. It will be a time when all Christians of all denominations will suffer great persecution and trouble. Apostolic faiths, every faith that calls themselves of the name of Jesus, are going to suffer persecution. And honestly, myself personally, I believe that we have been at this place for a few years already with the rise of terrorism and the wholesale persecution of Christians that we see around the world. Recently, I saw a figure that said that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world today. And so it is a beginning of sorrows. It is not the sorrows that will come upon the world, but it is the beginning of sorrows. And so what can we glean from this? What is the word that will help us in these times? And what direction can we get this morning from Bible prophecy? Another scripture in Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 18 talks about the climax of Bible prophecy and what the Lord is going to do to this old world. Isaiah 24 and verse 18, "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down." Think about that. "The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." We talk about the housing bubble, we talk about a financial bubble, but nobody's talking about a moral bubble that we have. And transgression and sin is weighing upon our world, and it is a very, very heavy thing. And the day will come when it will not be able to hold it up. And it goes on and says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously." Very powerful scripture that we read there in the book of Isaiah, and it lets us to know that Bible prophecy is going to come to pass, and there is going to be a tremendous time of calamity upon our world because of the sins of mankind. But we have to ask the question, and obviously the question comes up, what about you and I? What about the church? And how can I avoid the things that are coming upon the world? And the answer is found partially in the scripture that I read this morning in beginning. Be not soon shaken. Be not soon shaken. The word shaken here means to agitate, to rock, or to topple, or to destroy completely, or to disturb, or to incite. And I feel the Lord here this morning, and I believe that God is speaking to somebody here today. And if you're shaken by the things that are happening in our world today, I want to give you some hope this morning that you don't have to be shaken. There is a way of escaping all the calamities that are going to come upon our world. And Paul talks about it here. And he says that you be not soon shaken in mind. And the word mind there refers to fear and dread of the things that are before us. I have talked with people over my ministry time, and there are some that when they begin to talk about prophecy or when I begin to speak about prophecy, I've actually seen them begin to tremble with fear because they knew they were not right with God. And fear had gripped their mind. And I've seen many cases along that line. But Paul said, be not shaken in your mind. Be steady, be confident in your mind. He said, be not shaken by spirit. And that is a small s there. That's not talking about the Spirit of God, but I believe this morning that it is talking about the enemy of our soul that comes with his deceptions. And I won't go into it here this morning, but Satan will have reign upon this earth for a small season of time. The Bible says that he will appear as the Antichrist, and he will be able to call fire down from heaven and do miracles in the sight of men. But there will be a people among that situation that will not be shaken, that will stand upon the foundation of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. There's only one God, there's only one way, and the apostles' message of repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, don't be disturbed by spirit. And of course, the devil brings fear. The devil brings torment. The devil brings so many things into the lives of people. But what we have to do is we have to understand that we are not given over to destruction, but we are given over to salvation. Praise God for that. He said, don't be shaken soon shaken by word. And words are very powerful. We're looking at a time in our country where people are trying to say that you cannot say certain words, that words are illegal, that if you speak a certain way, you can actually go to jail in our generation today. We never thought that we would be here, but we are here. The reason that it's this way is because words are very powerful. Words carry a lot of weight, and they have tremendous power and meaning and lead us in a particular direction. And he said, be not shaken by a word. We have a lot of media outlets in our day today. And I would say to the church, be careful what you're reading about all of this, because you will end up with a negative attitude about life, a negative attitude about the future, and all of that. But we've got to understand, and we've got to claim it over and over, our God is in control. Amen. Praise God. He is in control of everything. And the best way to do it is not to look at too much of this and understand that we're going to get through this. And when something else comes, we're going to get through that. As the songwriter wrote, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. And we're going to continue that way. And then Paul says, be not soon shaken by word from us. And so there are those that have added to the Word of God and have taken away from the Word of God. But Paul said, the word that we have written unto you is the word that you need to be settled upon and established upon. Because any other gospel, Galatians chapter 1, the Galatian church had strayed away from Jesus Christ, and Paul wrote to them, and Paul said, if anyone come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he went and said again that even if it was an angel from heaven preaching another gospel, we would not accept it, but we would reject it. It is said in history that when the Corinthian church read the two letters that Paul had written to them, and where he admonished them, and in love he rebuked them for the sin that was in their church, the history books tell us that the church broke down and wept and repented. And so we cannot be shaken in our mind by anything that's written in the Word of God. The Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Thank God for the surety and the foundation of the Word of God. But rest assured that there will be a shaking that will happen on our world. And Scripture tells us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, that which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27 says this, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, there it is, as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I don't know about you, but I want to remain all the way to the very end, all the way to the rapture of the church, all the way to taking my very last breath. Amen. I don't want to be shaken. And the word that we need to have always is be not soon shaken. If you're disturbed this morning because of the events of our world, it's understandable. We're living in Bible prophecy times. We are living in the day of the coming of the Lord. I really believe that Jesus could come at any point in time. I believe that he could come today. But I'm not worried, I'm not fretting, I'm not shaken, because what I try my best to do and what I think we all need to do is think on the good things of the Lord. Just like the very first scripture that we gave for meditation, that we should think on these things. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And when you think on the good things of God and you walk close with God, fear will dissipate, it will be gone, and it will not have a part of your life. And it will help us to reject those things from without, those things that are outside of the church. Those things that don't line up with truth, and they don't allow peace to come into your heart. But Jesus said, "Be not troubled, peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but let your heart not be troubled." Amen. And that's a paraphrase this morning. But we need to think on the good things of God. As the old songwriter wrote, you're going to make it because you've got what it takes to win. Praise God. I know you've got enough to make it because God has called us, God has spoken to us, and we're going to make it. And Scripture tells us that there are more that are for us than are against us. And Scripture tells us as well that God is for us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Another Scripture says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but it will be destroyed before us. One more place it says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Thank God for victory for the people of God. I can do all things through Him that loved me. But you might be saying this morning, what should I do? How can I get close to God? The main Scripture that I would like to leave with us today, and if you would meditate on this, I believe God will open your mind and your heart. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And the people of their day had the very same question. What do we do? What is the very thing that we need to do? How can we deal with this fear that's come on us? How can we deal with the condemnation that we feel because of our sins? Peter answered them in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 38, Acts 2 and 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's really wrapped up in the message called the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. And we obey the gospel by dying with Him. We are crucified with Him, Romans 6 and 6. We are crucified with Him. And then it says in verse 4 that we are buried with Him by baptism and that we rise with Him in a resurrection. And so we must repent of our sins, turn from our sins, give our lives to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the blotting out of our sins and receiving the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and you'll have the power and the victory to be not soon shaken in your mind. God bless you this morning. I hope that is an inspiration to all. I would also like to go before the Lord this morning with prayer requests, and I'd like to say on a side note here, that if you do have any prayer requests, please leave those with us. You can text those prayer requests to 304-9720, and we will put them on the prayer list, and we will call those out. But we would like to remember the Tuckers this morning, and they are not doing well. She's been sick for quite a while, and it's a very serious situation. We would like to remember Sister Michelle this morning, who is in quarantine because of her lung transplant. And I'm sure there are other needs that are represented here this morning, and we want to go before the Lord and ask Him to meet those needs. If you have a need this morning, just call it out where you're at, And we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. Lord, I thank you for the precious people of God and for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you this morning, Lord, let the Word of God be strong in us, that we would not be soon shaken by anything that would come against us. And we pray for those that are elderly among us. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick among us, especially the Tuckers. I pray, Lord, this morning for Sister Michelle, that your hand of protection would rest upon her. And I pray for a good friend in the ministry, Eli Hernandez, that is in critical condition with the coronavirus. And I'm asking you to lift him up off of that hospital bed this morning. And I pray you will keep your hand upon the church and upon our communities and our healthcare people and our responders and all of those that are helping us and putting themselves at harm's way. And we ask your protection upon them. Keep your hand upon us. Touch us today. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Remember, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock is Sunday school. I understand they had a real exciting Sunday school this morning. They've got a brand new puppet, Allie the Alligator. And she was there this morning. And it's really a wonderful time for the children to get together Sunday morning, 9 o'clock Sunday school. And obviously Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 7:30, you can reach us all on Facebook Live, and we'd love to have you come and join us. God bless you this morning.